Yes, welcome back to Tuesday's edition of World Football Daily. Here we have Champions League action tonight, and it's not just Arsenal taking on Bayern Munich this evening. Malaga take on Porto. The new boys in the Champions League have shocked everybody with how well they've done. And of course, we have Barcelona taking on AC Milan tomorrow night as well. And here to talk all things Spanish football is Goal.com's number one man for all that is Spanish football, Mr. Ben Hayward, joining us once again. Ben, how are you today, man?
I'm great, thanks, Ali. How about yourself?
I'm very well indeed. I finally got over a bit of lurgy I had recently, so I'm all set, raring to go for a bit of Champions League football tonight. Before we get into the Champions League, Ben, there's a little bit to discuss about Sergio Ramos and what he's been saying about his 16th sending off for Real Madrid this weekend. He says it was down to his reputation. Do you think it was?
Well, I think there's certainly something to be said for that. You know, I wrote a piece not long ago, actually, about how he needs to kind of calm down. He'd been sent off. That was after his 15th sending off, and this was number 16, as you say. And, you know, bearing in mind, the guy's still 26. You know, if he carries on at this rate, he could go down as probably one of the most dismissed players in history. But I think the match of the weekend, I think he was very, very unlucky. The first card came out, it was a foul, okay, but it wasn't a booking. It was pretty innocuous, I thought. And then the second one was 44 seconds later. You know, it was unbelievable. For me, it wasn't a deliberate handball either. So for me, neither of them are cards. And the referee should... I know that, you know, they talk about, you know, following the rules of the game and what have you, but I think in this case, a little bit of common sense should be applied. There's no need to send a guy off. Particularly for, you know, two very minor offences, in my opinion.
There's something to be said, though, about Sergio Ramos and his inability to mature in this sense of the game. Would you say that's a fair assessment on him?
Yeah, I would say that's a fair assessment, Ollie. And yeah, as I said, I wrote a piece on it a while back, and I feel at times watching Real Madrid that, you know, with Sergio Ramos as he is, with Pepe alongside him, how Pepe is, it's a ticking time bomb at times, isn't it?
Is that something to do with the kind of the atmosphere around Madrid right now as well? There's no encouragement to kind of grow up in this sense. They are willing to kind of create this almost siege mentality at Madrid of us against them, and if something goes against Real Madrid, they still back the players in some sense.
But I think it's it's partly to do with Mourinho and this kind of siege mentality, as you say, that they have, it's us against the world, and there definitely is some of that. I mean, this year alone, they've had, I don't know, off the top of my head, six, seven or eight, something like that, red cards. You know, it's crazy, and it's certainly gone up since Mourinho's been in the job. It's really worrying in that, you know, all right, against Rayo Vallecano at home, 2-0 up, it's not a problem, you know, but in the big games, you know, in the Champions League, last 16, or, you know, as we saw it in the semi-final a couple of years ago against Barcelona, you know, the game was 0-0 until Pepe was sent off, and then obviously Messi scored twice. So in those kind of games, they really can't afford to lose their heads. They need to keep their discipline. So it's all very well being fired up and going out there and giving everything that you have. But they need to be careful as well.
Ben, what did you make of Mourinho playing Morata this weekend, especially after there had been so much criticism of Higuain and, of course, of Benzema as well, and how they were unable to support Ronaldo and Di Maria in the Champions League against Manchester United?
Yeah, it was an interesting one. I think, for me, it's a little bit similar. Obviously, you know, Higuain was suspended. But for me, it was a little bit similar to when we saw Casillas dropped a while, you know, just before Christmas. Kind of a wake-up call for me, for Benzema. He hasn't been quite on his game this season. You know, Higuain is a bit different. He gives everything, he gives his all, but he's been missing too many chances. But I think Benzema is not quite up at the level that we saw last season. And I think Mourinho was sending a clear message to Benzema by picking Morata in that game.
Does that message carry on to be kind of sent out, do you think, in this coming weekend and possibly in the Champions League as well? Do Benzema or Higuain have their names stamped on the team sheet?
I don't think... I think the problem is that And Valdano touched on it with some comments a couple of weeks back. He said that the problem that there is right now is that neither of them actually kind of feels like a first choice player in that team, because Mourinho's been shopping and changing. You know, he kind of persuaded Higuain to stay in the summer, said that, you know, told him he'd have more chances to play than he did last time. You know, he was given those chances, but he didn't really take them. I mean, there's a lot of chances earlier in the season, a lot of clear-cut opportunities. And then Benzema came in and did quite well, but then away from home, he hasn't looked as good as he can do either. It goes missing. So I don't think either of them have really, really taken their chance. And I'm not sure we'll see Morata in a big game. I don't think we will. But I think Mourinho is hoping that starting Morata the weekend is going to, you know, say to these guys, come on, you need to work a bit harder to earn your place in the team.
We saw Kaká playing this weekend as well and put in another good performance. He's not been bad, I don't think, when he's played this season. Ben, does he deserve a bit more game time? Does he maybe deserve an opportunity against United at Old Trafford? He's got a good history against an English side.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's always good to see, isn't it, Kaká doing well and getting games. I think he's a player that, you know, whichever team you like, he's a popular player and he seems like a nice guy. And it's good to see him get another chance, you know, and I think he deserves that. Obviously, at the weekend, they had a lot of players missing and Xabi Alonso was out. And, you know, Modric has still been struggling a little bit. So, yeah, why not give Kaká a chance? I mean, you've got two big games coming up against Barcelona and against Manchester United, and you need to go to both of these grounds, probably the two toughest away grounds in Europe, and you need to get a result, but you also need to score goals. And, you know, Kaká playing like that, and, you know, what I thought was really interesting as well is that often we say, and I've said it in the past, is that he seems to lack a bit of intensity in his game. He's obviously, with his fitness problems and what have you, he's not able to track back maybe like some of the others. But that really impressed me against Rayo was what really impressed me was his work rate, you know, as much as his passing, which was fantastic, and what we expect. I thought his work rate was fantastic, and that will be needed too in these big games. So it gives Mourinho another option, and I think he may well go for it.
A little bit of food for thought there for Jose Mourinho. A little bit of food for thought for Malaga fans as well is how iffy their form has been since the finale of the group stage of the Champions League. Moving into the knockout round now, new territory, and it's not been a smooth running for them, has it, Ben?
It hasn't been a smooth running, but this is a different kettle of fish now, isn't it? I mean, it's back in the Champions League, that, you know, they're still unbeaten. As you say, they had a fantastic group stage, and they'll be fired up for this one. You know, with all of their problems, as, you know, we talked about before, all the problems they had in the summer, you know, Pellegrini has sailed their ship through stormy waters, and all right, the form has dropped in La Liga, but they're still up there. And I think he's a very experienced coach, and it's an experienced squad as well, and I think he'll get them fired up for what is a very big game and a massive tie. And also the other thing is that they've got this European ban hanging over them, which means they may not be able to, you know, unless they win the appeal, they probably won't be able to play in Europe next season. So they'll want to definitely make the most of this Champions League campaign. And it's a winnable tie as well, Porto. You know, it's a difficult one, but it's one that you could see Malaga doing well. So, yeah, I expect them to be probably back on form in this tie.
Is there a decent amount of significance with their result this weekend going into this game, finally keeping a clean sheet for the first time, I think it's in 12 or 11 outings for Malaga?
Yes, it's good timing. And they had some, you know, come off some bad results at home as well. So it was a morale-boosting victory, and obviously with several players rested as well. So, that'll do wonders for their confidence.
They are missing a number of key players at the back. I mean, we saw Monreal's, of course, gone, but Eliseu and Jesus Gámez as well won't be there for tonight, as expected. How leaky does that make Malaga's back four?
I'm not sure it's going to make too much difference. I mean, they've got a, yeah, obviously selling Monreal was a blow, but they rested Demichelis at the weekend and they still kept a clean sheet. They've got a good squad, and yeah, I think they can cover those. Obviously, Eliseo is a player who gives them another dimension in the attacking sense as well. So he's yeah, he'll be missed for sure. But no, I think they'll be all right.
Does being on the road, does that give Malaga an advantage at all in this first leg? How do you see them approaching this evening against Porto at the Dragao?
I'm not sure there's an advantage when it comes to this stage. I mean, it all depends on what happens. I mean, I think they'd be happy with a draw in this match. But then the home form has been a little bit off as well. We've seen them go away from home in the Champions League and get results, you know, in the group stages as well. We've seen them keep clean sheets away from home, so I think they'll go out to win the game. I think they have to.
Where do they have to be careful though with Porto? I mean, this is a very good Porto side that is so far unbeaten. Where are the key battles on the field tonight for Malaga? That where do they need to win?
Obviously, Porto have a lot of dangerous attacking players. You know, down the wings and the midfield battle is hugely important. But you know, Malaga's way of playing is an attacking football. It's not about sitting back and speculating. I don't think it will do them any good to kind of play for a draw or play defensive. They have to go out and do what they know and stay true to their way of playing, and that's brought them success so far. And I'm sure it can bring them a good result tonight.
Pellegrini said that he's not going to sacrifice the great, beautiful style of football that Malaga play right now for results. Is that going to please the fans, do you think, coming out and saying like that? Surely the fans would want to see a result over, you know, the style in which they win.
Yeah, it all depends, doesn't it? You know, I mean, I don't know if they have it in them to. I mean, Pellegrini's a great coach. But often when teams try and play defensively and they don't, I'm not sure Malaga really have the players to play that way. So they have to be, I mean, obviously away from home, you'd be careful. You can't go out all guns blazing, particularly against a team like Porto, who are going to hurt you. But, you know, they'll want to have the ball, they'll want possession, and they'll want to be creative. And I think that's probably the right way to go. So I get what he's saying. I think that's the way their squad's been confectioned, and I think it's the right decision not to change their playing style too much for this one.
Arguably, though, the biggest tie of this week is AC Milan against Barcelona. Ben, there's been criticism of Barca's defensive line in recent weeks, especially in the Spanish press. Is that something that Milan can really see as an opening to take down Barca over two legs?
Well, perhaps. I don't know. I mean, it's you can criticise Barcelona's defence, but they've been winning, haven't they? They've pretty much been winning all the time. Obviously, they lost at Real Sociedad, and but that came, you know, they were 2-1 up until Piqué was sent off, so that was a little bit different. They've had one or two problems, but generally, they're going out and scoring more than the opposition. And this Milan team, I mean, we saw last season when the two teams met in the knockout stages. There was a draw at San Siro, and then the Barca won, I think, was it 3-1 at Camp Nou? And this Milan side, for me, is not as strong as it was a year ago. Obviously, there's no Thiago Silva, there's no Ibrahimovic. I see Barcelona as clear favourites in this one. It's still obviously going to be an interesting tie and interesting match in Italy. But I do think that the Barca, I mean, they may concede, but they're going to score more.
Is this Barcelona AC Milan tie, is this becoming a bit of a European rivalry in some way? Because they seem to meet almost every other year. We've seen a number of meetings between these sides in the Champions League and always exciting games.
Definitely. I mean, it's a hugely exciting matchup. Although perhaps, this time when they were paired together again, they didn't seem to be perhaps the same excitement as we've seen in recent seasons. I think that's because there's quite a big difference now between these two teams. Obviously, Milan have had AC Milan have had their problems. Barca still looking good. And you know, when the draw was made this time, everybody was talking about Real Madrid against Manchester United, weren't they? And not so much about this one. But, you know, this is whatever competition, whatever stage, AC Milan against Barcelona, I mean, it's a massive, massive tie, massive game. So yeah, a little bit of rivalry there, for sure.
Will Barca be changing anything at all to their normal style of play to face this Milan side, especially as Italian sides have that very kind of, you know, sturdy defensive look about them, however badly they are doing at points?
I don't think they will. I mean, we've seen this team actually this season go away from home and play a little bit differently, to play a little bit deeper, and it's not so much possession of the ball. Obviously, they're still dominating the possession, but it's using players like Pedro and Alexis to kind of break forward, not really counter-attacks, but just kind of playing the ball out quickly to the wings and using the channels. And I think we can see that. We might see that in this match. Just being a little bit more intelligent, really. I mean, it's all very well having the possession, but you've got to use your weapons as well. And that's been a feature of Tito's team this season, especially on the road. I think we may well see that.
No worries that Bojan will be dropping some inside hints either to the Rossoneri?
Maybe. who knows? I mean, what can he say? You know, I mean, it's very, very difficult to stop them, of course. I mean, you know, how do you stop Messi? I mean, even if you, even Puyol says he, you know, plays alongside him in training every day and can't stop him. I'm not sure those secrets will do too much good, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've heard they've got a couple of good Spanish lads in the midfield as well, Iniesta and Xavi, but we've not heard too much about them, I have to say. Ben, we've got to get a score prediction from you for the two games tonight and tomorrow night. First, Malaga-Porto. How is this one going to end up in the Dragao?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, I fancy Malaga to score, but I think Porto will win. I'm going to go for an entertaining 3-2. Supporter in that one.
And obviously Wednesday night as well.
Wednesday night, you know, I'd obviously in the course of the tie itself, I mean, the two games, I see Barca being stronger for sure. I definitely see them winning comfortably here. But in San Siro, Milan always give them a good game. So I'll go for a 2-2 in that one.
All right, then. A 2-2. I think we'd all take a 2-2 and a 3-2 from those games. Plenty of goals and plenty of entertainment being predicted by Ben as we get ready for the Champions League. It's an absolute pleasure to have you back on, mate. Always a good laugh getting you on the show, and we look forward to getting you back as soon as possible.
Absolutely. Yeah, brilliant to be back.
Thanks for having me. Enjoy the Champions League tonight, mate. It's always a pleasure to have you on, and it's always a pleasure to chat a little bit of continental football with you as well, man. Take care and have a good one.
Brilliant. You too, Ollie. Cheers.
Ben Hayward there of Goal.com joining us here on World Football Daily, talking about La Liga and, of course, a little bit of Real Madrid thrown in with the Champions League action coming our way tonight and tomorrow night. Malaga taking on Porto in Portugal. The new boys to the Champions League, Malaga, have been fantastic to watch throughout the qualifying games and, of course, the group stage as well. They've entertained us in La Liga. And now it's time to get it done on the big stage, the knockout stage, taking on Porto.
We know you love that free bit from us here at WFD. Now go and sign up and get access to a huge archive of our content and interviews, and download the best daily podcast in America. Go to worldfootballdaily.com and become a member today.